This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York, inviting you to attend my final campus community lecture, Towards a More Perfect Union, Finishing the Unfinished Black Freedom Struggle, Thursday, May 17th at the York College Performing Arts Center, 9445 Guy Brewer Boulevard in Jamaica, Queens. I'm retiring as distinguished lecturer at York College, but not from the struggle. So join us for this campus community celebratory event. It's free and open to the public. Reception starts at 6 o'clock p.m., followed by the program at 7 o'clock. For further information, call 718-262-3750. That's 718-262-3750. Or visit the website www.ibw21.org.
It's time for Vantage Point with Professor Ron Daniels right here over WBAI.
Good morning. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, and for a little while, distinguished lecturer at York College, City University of New York, welcoming you to this May 14th edition of Vantage Point here on WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with YCRadio.org. And by the way, we give big shouts out to our chief announcer, Michael G. Haskins. He cannot make a mistake. He is infallible. Whatever he does is okay with me. And, of course, every now and then we have a hiccup, but hiccups are good for the body. So what the hell? We're not worried about that. He's a great guy. We really appreciate him and all the work that he does for WBAI and in support of Vantage Point. Quite frankly, I couldn't do it without him. Yes, my final lecture is coming up, and you heard the promo for it. It's this coming May 17th. That's this Thursday. And it's at the York College Performing Arts Center, and the address is located. You can go on the website, ibw21.org, and get that or continue to listen to the promo. Actually, I don't have it in front of me, but I will in a minute. One of the things I want to let you know is that there is parking. So if you're worried about parking, don't worry about parking. There's parking right adjacent to the York College Performing Arts Center. And you can roll up in there, tell them you're there for the campus community lecture, and join. And you walk right into the Performing Arts Center because it's right next to the parking lot is right adjacent. So parking's not an issue. And, of course, you know, you have the J and the Z trains and the E trains rolling right up to Jamaica Center. And it's a couple blocks walk, but it's going to be a nice day, and, you know, you'll be right there. So we're looking for come and join us. Be there for it as we talk about Towards a More Perfect Union, Finishing the Unfinished Black Freedom Struggle. And that's this coming Thursday. We're looking for you to turn out big time. I want y'all to be there. You know, come and see where I hailed and hang out. I've been there for some 10 years. York College is a wonderful, wonderful place and space. And so honored and privileged to have been had the opportunity to serve as York College's first distinguished lecturer. This coming Friday is Haitian Flag Day. Just want to flag that, May 18th. And, of course, our dear beloved Assemblywoman is pushing to have a part of Flatbush designated a Haitian Little Haiti. And we'll talk about that a bit, too. And then, of course, May 19th is the bell birthday of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. And our program today is dedicated to El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. Our premium is By Any Means Necessary. Malcolm Real, Not Reimagined. 11 speeches and interviews. Malcolm X presents a revolutionary alternative to this reformist trap, taking up political alliances, talking about women's rights, U.S. intervention in the Congo and Vietnam, also discussing capitalism and socialism and much more. Powerful, powerful premium today for just $85. $85, you'll get this wisdom. And, of course, one of the things we also want to continue to push, and we thank you for your support last week as we talked about Dr. John Henry Clark, WBA Buddies, is a high priority. We really want to rev it up, and it's really starting to catch on. So we want more and more people to, and we have helped to lead the way here on Vantage Point. Now, since that happened, now people have overtaken me, so I don't like that so much. But it's okay. It's friendly competition, good competition. But I want to stay in the forefront. WBA iBuddies is simply a way by which you can be a sustaining contributor to WBAI for just $10 a month. $10 a month, or you can do more, bank account or credit card, or make other arrangements, but those are the two most expeditious ways. And it just, it's painless, you know, and it comes out every month and you don't even know about it. It just happens. I'm a WBAI buddy. It just happens. I don't have to worry about it. It's done. And as a result of that, I'm a sustaining contributor to WBAI. And there's a lot of benefits that come with it too. So hundreds of people out there, thousands, you can do this. And we want you to do that today. Now, joining us for our conversation this morning to talk about Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X, and to help us to understand why this premium is important, which is the way I like to do it. I want you to understand why it's important to get this premium today is one of our really comes on frequently. He is a reservoir of tremendous knowledge in many, many areas, but particularly about Malcolm X. In fact, he is the one who spearheads the pilgrimage to Malcolm's gravesite every year, as he will do again this year. It is none other than Professor James Small. Professor James Small, welcome to Vantage Point.
Good morning, sir, and thank you so much, Professor, for having me there.
Oh, well, it's always good to have you on. And so we said before, we have this is our pledge drive, and we're fighting to not only survive but thrive here at WBAI. And our premium today is by any means necessary. Malcolm X Real, Not Reimagined. Of course, some of us did a book called Malcolm X By Any Means Necessary, Real, Not Reinvented. But this is a slightly different take, and it has lots of information about Malcolm on it. But you are someone who has had a great relationship with not only with Malcolm, but with the family. So talk to us, our listening audience, about your role with Malcolm X and the family.
Well, we go back. I met Malcolm in 1963 when I was a high school student coming from South Carolina to visit New York for the purpose of meeting Malcolm X. That was a gift from my mother. I'd seen Malcolm on television down in South Carolina, and I wanted to meet this guy. So my mom brought me to New York. She lived here. And took me to 116th Street to Temple Number 7. And I remember Malcolm wasn't there, but the brothers told us we could find him in front of the Food Family Supermarket on 141st and 8th Avenue. And he was actually there with other brothers giving out flyers against the March on Washington. And that's why I met him. The only time that we met. Spoke for about 15 minutes. And I was talking, you know, I was ready to leave school down south and come up here. And he encouraged me to stay in school, to go to college. He told me that education was one of the major weapons in freeing black people. And he's very clear about that. Because I wasn't planning on going to college. I was going in the military for 20 years when I met Malcolm X. I went to college, of course. Got into the civil rights movement in Savannah, Georgia, and got thrown out, not so much thrown out, but had to leave Savannah. And I went into the military, where I was a reservist. Malcolm was killed the next year. I came home, and I joined the OAAU under his sister Ella, who had just taken over. And I came home for good in 66 and became the imam over the Muslim Mosque. You know, when Malcolm got assassinated, contrary to today, we hear a lot of people talking about how close they were to him and so forth. But when he got assassinated, everybody ran away.
Mm.
Almost. There were a few brothers, Peter Bailey, Brother Stock, Brother James Shabazz. There were a few brothers who stayed, Brother Earl, Brother Josh. But most of the people ran away, brother. And it was decades before I heard any of them uttered Malcolm's name. And I just, this truth just has to be told, or even got involved in movement overtly. I understand the fear when you're up against the U.S. government, because that's who killed our leader. But from that moment, after coming back, we sought to rebuild the organization in different kinds of ways, maintain the integrity of this man's work, to make sure he was not just shot down and forgotten and only raised up occasionally by people for their own self-interest. But we wanted to keep some object in place, and that's where the pilgrimage came in, where every year thousands of his people will come and say, we remember you, and we want to continue this work. From all over the country, people come. That, along with doing daily work, you know, helping to set up centers around the countries, help set up community centers, help to set up Islamic centers, and other things, working in Ghana especially, working in Kenya, working in South Africa and other places where we've been doing work quietly, just to keep this idea of by any means necessary going.
Right.
Some people reduce by any means necessary to one means. Malcolm didn't just say, pick up a gun. The gun was an alternative if other things didn't work. He said any means, and that means whatever means is available for you to accomplish your mission, you should master those means and use them. We allowed ourselves to be cornered into a one-means behavior when we say we follow Malcolm. Well, we don't necessarily mean me and my comrades, but too many people. And so I worked as a bodyguard for his sister Ella for 18 years. I've worked closely with his brother Wilford, extremely closely with his wife, Sister Betty, on a number of issues over decades. And so that's kind of where my life has been, keeping this thing going on college campuses. Wherever I found myself, Malcolm was always at the pinnacle in terms of the methodology and the analysis for which we approach trying to solve the problems in the African world. And a lot of people talk about Malcolm, but they don't really talk about the fact that he did analyze this problem very correctly. He did analyze racism and colonialism and imperialism in a most correct manner. And his prescription, we haven't used. One of the first things he instructed us to is to master our history, learn the political situation, become politically astute, learn to acquire land in the neighborhoods where you find yourself living, control the politics in that neighborhood, control the economics in that neighborhood. These are his instructions.
That's right.
Or at least his formulas as a result of his analysis.
Right.
We talk about him, but we don't do those things. Some of us don't.
Right. Well, you know, talking about the analysis, one of the things that gets talked about a great deal is sort of pre-Mecca Malcolm and post-Mecca Malcolm. Would you talk to us about that in terms of his evolution? In terms of...
Yeah, I think some of that is mythology. White people wish that they had killed the tough, rough Malcolm X and had reinvented this much gentler Hodge Malik Shabazz. I think that's American social myth. Malcolm had been to the Middle East while he was still in the nation as early as the 1950s. Malcolm was fully acquainted with Orthodox Islam because there were Orthodox Islamic people living in his house, in Ella's house in Boston. There was an Ahmadiyya mosque directly across the street from Ella's house where Malcolm spent much time. They taught in the Sarah A. Little. Sarah Little was his father's sister. And that's one of the women. Nobody mentions her, right? But she's one of the women that helps Ella raise this guy, okay? Nobody talks about her. And there's Gracie Little, his father's other sister, all three of those women lived in the house in Boston where Malcolm went as a teenager. One was a graduate of Spelman. Well, two was a graduate of Spelman, Ella and Sarah. Sarah was a school teacher. Gracie was a homemaker and a chef. And these are two hardcore, old-school Georgia women, okay? I knew them. I did the janaza for Sarah, for Gracie's funeral when we took her body back to Reynolds, Georgia so many years ago. But there's a Malcolm people don't know. Malcolm had gone to the Middle East in the 50s. He had visited Turkey, Egypt, and other places. And why did he go? This is in 57, 58, something like that. He was setting up the Hajj for Elijah Muhammad. Elijah Muhammad made Hajj long before Malcolm. But the decision was made not to move us out of the dominance of one white culture and put us under the dominance of another. And so that was never pushed. So Malcolm going to the Middle East and knowing about Hajj for the first time in 1963 or 64 is a myth. And we should get rid of that myth.
Right. You know? Well, that's good to know, and that's why it's good to have you as such an invaluable asset in terms of what you bring to the table. And then that's one of the reasons why we have this premium, by the way, is because people, you know, like I tell people all the time, you know, when I listened to Dr. John Henry Clark last week, we had it on, you know, I learned something new every time I listen. And if I listen to Malcolm, you know, sometimes it's just to get re-energized, just to feel the power of his voice and his analysis.
Because he will raise your spirit up right now listening to those tapes. It just raises your spirit and say, yes, we can do this.
Right, right.
You know.
So that's what I'm saying is that's why, you know, I was going to ask you the question why people should get a premium like the one that we're offering today by any means necessary, Malcolm. Real, it's, not reimagined.
That piece, by any means necessary, it's like an encyclopedia on African-American affairs, on African affairs, but particularly African-American affairs. How do we view the world? This young man, remember this young man died at 39. So he was a young man. As he's studying the world and trying to help us see the world through his eyes, he's studying the African-American political situation, moral situation, cultural situation, by being out here in these streets, taking on the problems, and then he's allowing us to see those problems and their resolution through his eyes, you know? And so it's such an apropos document for today with the crisis we're having. He talked about police brutality and murder back then. Matter of fact, the Muhammad Speak newspaper was founded in response to
Hello?
Yes, the Elijah Muhammad, the Muhammad Speak newspaper was actually founded in response to a police killing, to police brutality. His answer to police brutality was information and explanation,
right,
and then organization of black people. So studying this brother's words and his views is an encyclopedic piece for our community, especially for our struggle today. Right. Our young people are in trouble with the crisis of unemployment, ill-prepared in high school, and by the hundreds and hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, unemployable in terms of the new technology in society. Yet we are not training them for the basic technologies, the apprenticeship in plumbing. We still need plumbers in every building in America, the apprenticeship in electronics, the apprenticeship in masonry, the apprenticeship in carpentry. And so Malcolm talked about a lot of these things. And we need to understand, he said, any means necessary.
All
not
right.
A single mean.
Well, our time is expiring, but tell us about the pilgrimage this coming Saturday. Where do people gather? And just give us the basic information. There are many people, I'm sure, who already know about it, but for those who don't, please provide the information for us.
We will be gathering at 125th Street and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard starting at 8 a.m., buses will pull out precisely at 10 a.m. If you're 1 minute after 10, it meant we've left you. And we go in a motorcade, and the buses, some buses are free, some we ask for a small token just to pay the cost of those buses. But if you don't have any money, we never leave anyone behind.
Right.
And so we go by motorcade to Ferncliff Cemetery, leaving at 10 a.m. We will arrive at the cemetery in about 45 minutes. We do a ceremony that lasts about 2 hours, a beautiful ceremony, and we return to Holland by 2:30 in the afternoon. Buses will come from as far away as Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, Philadelphia, upstate New York, Boston, as well as Harlem, always contributing some with upwards of 6 buses. There'll be a bus coming from the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood. You can go there on 113th Street and St. Nicholas Avenue. They're loading at the same time between 8 and 10 a.m. And we beg you to join us for this 53rd pilgrimage and the 93rd birthday of our great reverend ancestor, Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz Malcolm X, on May 19th.
All right. Thank you so much. Professor James Small, really appreciate it.
And people, make this donation. Join BAI. If we lose BAI, we lose the Malcolm of the media. Mm. We have no other voice.
Malcolm of the media. Okay. That's a line I'm going to use. Thank you
okay,
so much.
Brother Ron.
Really appreciate it. Well, you heard it. If we lose WBAI, we lose the Malcolm of the media. Wow, what a powerful line. Well, what we want to do now is to actually listen to the powerful voice of Al-Hajj Malik Al-Shabazz, Malcolm X.
Assalamu alaikum. Mr. Moderator, our distinguished guests, brothers and sisters, our friends and our enemies. Everybody is here. As many of you know, last March, when it was announced that I was no longer in the Black Muslim movement, it was pointed out that it was my intention to work among the 22 million non-Muslim Afro-Americans and to try and form some type of organization or create a situation where the young people, our young people, the students and others, could study the problems of our people for a period of time and then come up with a new analysis and give us some new ideas and some new suggestions as to how to approach a problem that too many other people had been playing around with for too long. And that we would have some kind of meeting and determine at a later date whether to form a Black Nationalist Party or a Black Nationalist Army. There have been many of our people across the country from all walks of life who have taken it upon themselves to try and pool their ideas and to come up with some kind of solution to the problem that confronts all of our people. And tonight we are here to try and get an understanding of what it is they've come up with. Also, recently, when I was blessed to make a trip or a pilgrimage, a religious pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca, where I met many people from all over the world, plus spent many weeks in Africa trying to broaden my own scope and get more of an open mind to look at the problem as it actually is. One of the things that I realized, and I realized this even before going over there, was that our African brothers have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of nation. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, all of those other pretty soundings. So it was our intention to try and find out what was our African brothers doing to get results so that you and I could study what they had done and perhaps gain from that study or benefit from their experiences. And my traveling over there was designed to help to find out how. One of the first things that the independent African nations did was to form an organization called the Organization of African Unity. The purpose of our organization of Afro-American Unity, which has the same aim and objective, to fight whoever gets in our way. To bring about the complete independence of people of African descent here in the Western Hemisphere and first here in the United States. And bring about the freedom of these people by any means necessary. That's our motto. The purpose of our organization is to start right here in Harlem, which has the largest concentration of people of African descent that exists anywhere on this earth. There are more Africans here in Harlem than exist in any city on the African continent, because that's what you and I are, Africans. The Charter of the United Nations, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the Constitution of the United States, and the Bill of Rights are the principles in which we believe, and that these documents, if put into practice, represent the essence of mankind's hopes and good intentions, desirous that all Afro-American people and organizations should henceforth unite so that the welfare and well-being of our people will be assured. We are resolved to reinforce the common bond of purpose between our people by submerging all of our differences and establishing non-sectarian constructive programs for human rights. We hereby present this charter, number one, the establishment. The Organization of Afro-American Unity shall include all people of African descent in the Western Hemisphere. In essence, what it is saying, instead of you and me running around here seeking allies in our struggle for freedom in the Irish neighborhood or the Jewish neighborhood or the Italian neighborhood, we need to seek some allies among people who look something like we do. And once we get their allies, it's time out for you and me to stop running away from the wolf right into the arms of the fox, looking for some kind of help. That's a drag. Number two, self-defense. Since self-preservation is the first law of nature, we assert the Afro-Americans' right to self-defense. The Constitution of the United States of America clearly affirms the right of every American citizen to bear arms. And, as Americans, we will not give up a single right guaranteed under the Constitution. The history of unpunished violence against our people clearly indicates that we must be prepared to defend ourselves, or we will continue to be a defenseless people at the mercy of a ruthless and violent racist mob.
Organization of
that government.
As you see him talking about the formation of the Organization of African American Unity. Wow, what a powerful, like I say, every time I hear Malcolm, it's just so uplifting. His 93rd, I think, Professor Small's birthday is this coming Saturday. 93 years. He died at age 39. He was assassinated, killed at age 39, a young voice, before he had a chance to really flower. But in those 39 years, particularly the end of his life, he laid out a roadmap for Africans in America and the world to follow. And so we want to offer you this premium today. Professor James Small has said it, and I'm going to repeat it, that the reason why we have these pledge drives is because WBAI is the Malcolm of the media, the voice, the powerful voice that we dare not let be extinguished for lack of our support. Now, he mentioned how so many people sort of, for a period of time, he told that truth. Every time I hear Professor Smalls, I hear some additional information. He talked about the fact that, you know, only a few people, everybody grabbing Malcolm. Now, everybody is celebrating and so forth. But in the wake of his assassination, folks went underground. It was like the disciples abandoning Jesus. Folks vanished, right? And he said only a few stayed in there to help struggle and continue to build. That's an important lesson to learn. But equally important is this premium and why you should have it. And today, again, in the course of this program, we want to get at least 20 people, at least 20 people today, at least 20 at $85 a piece, at least 20 at $85 to purchase this premium by any means necessary. One of Malcolm's most famous quotes, by any means necessary. The premium is real, Malcolm X, real, not reimagined. And Professor Small talked about that. People want to remake Malcolm. They want to make milquetoast Malcolm. He went to Mecca and then he was a changed man. He was all this. He was like, yeah, well, he did go through an evolution. But the essence and core of what he believed as a black nationalist never really changed. Never changed. And note while he's talking how long it took for us to get to the point of saying we were African people. Here is Malcolm. Now, this whole African-American question was another 15, 20 years. He was talking about the Organization of Afro-American Union. He spoke him and said, we're Africans. You know, and we were just evolving from becoming Negroes to black. Malcolm, way out front. We are African people. We are African people saying that. That's why it's important, really, to have this DVD that has 11 different speeches, 11 different speeches and interviews in which Malcolm presents a revolutionary alternative to this reformist trap, taking up political alliances, women's rights, U.S. intervention in the Congo and the Vietnam, talking about capitalism and socialism and much more for just $85. I'm asking you to go to your phones right now and dial 516-620-3602, because you need to have this premium. But you also need to support WBAI, because Professor James Small, quote unquote, said WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. That's why I like to have guests come on and help interview them and talk about the subject matter, so they can also share with you why it's important that you have this treasure trove of premiums from WBAI. This is one of the most greatest assets that WBAI has. I mean, we should support WBAI whether we get the premium or not. But we have the extraordinary gift of giving to WBAI and then getting this extraordinary information, because we need these tools. And I know I probably sound redundant, but I don't care if I sound redundant, because it's exactly what's needed. I'm going to talk about that on Thursday, too, in my lecture, Finishing the Unfinished Freedom, Black Freedom Struggle, because it's not finished. Police brutality. New York Times today, right-hand column, first article, blacks and Latinos suffering the most arrests from marijuana. The war on drugs is a war on us. Hasn't changed. The more things change, the more they say the same. Doesn't mean it's exactly what it was, but this thing about police brutality has been there, continues to be there. Malcolm talking about it then. Professor Small sharing with us the idea that the Muhammad Speaks newspaper itself was founded in response to an incident of police brutality. We are still in crisis. Doesn't mean we haven't made some progress. We have. but we are not finished. And frankly, it's like Malcolm X said, it's either freedom for everybody or freedom for nobody. And unless all of us are free, unless Ron Daniels, distinguished whatever, ain't nothing. Unless the least of my African brothers and sisters are liberated too. Until that happens, we ain't free. I'm not free. I mean, I'm clear about that, and we all should be. But that's why we need these premiums, so that we can keep reminding ourselves, teaching ourselves. Knowledge is power. Professor Smalls talked about that as well. Malcolm told him what? No. Don't go back to school. Finish your education. You're going to need it. It is a tool. Now, we need African-centered education. That may not have been possible in his day, but Professor Small was augmenting that through his own efforts, his own desire to learn about black people, which is the other thing that Malcolm talked about. You see, I didn't become, like, versed in we didn't have no African-American studies. When I was at Kent State University, I helped create the Institute of African-American Studies. Was a part of those who helped create the Department of Pan-African Studies at Kent State University. People like Quincy Troop and others that have been on this this program. So then we did independent study on our own. And that's what you have to do. You can do your own independent study through these premiums. So light these phones up. I mean, every week, I hope we're creating through Vantage Point an army of people out there who are thirsty for this information. And if they have it, are still purchasing these premiums so they can share them with others, because we've got to expand the base of people who have this information, particularly our young people who need it, who need to grab it and learn from it. Because we still got some people out there talking about Malcolm 10. Because they don't know who El-Haj Malik El-Shabazz is and was. So go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602 to get this premium. Just $85, $85. Again, the phone number is 516. Thank you for calling. But we still have people sitting here now, volunteers, whose phones are wide open, who are sitting here waiting for you to call. They're waiting for you to call right now, 516-620-3602, so that you can get the premium by any means necessary. I mean, I'm telling you, Malcolm, the power of Malcolm X, just listening to him, just listening to the lessons. And again, so we forget. So it's good to hear it be reiterated and to measure it against what we're doing now. The whole question of being able to control the politics and economics of our community. I mean, are we there yet? No. Even when we have politicians who are elected today, unless they're in the mold of Charles Barron and Inez Barron and some gradation of such, we still ain't controlling the politics and economics of our community. Because we have some people now who just, you know, are delighted to be in office. Just glad to be the Negro who's elected to political office. That will not do. That is not what Malcolm was talking about. And I know many of these are well-meaning, but they need to hear Malcolm too. They need to be pushed to understand what Malcolm was talking about in terms of controlling the politics and economics of our community. That you work harder. That you do things to help share the power, share the resources, keep pushing this capitalist political economy to strain it, to give the maximum resources, knowing that it will never, ever be able to do that. But as we push it and strain it, there's the possibility of transformation. But if we just be glad to be there, if we just be glad to be the council person, the assemblyman, the senator, whatever, we ain't ever going to get there. Malcolm was encouraging us to be revolutionaries in office. Being revolutionaries in office, pushing, prodding, educating, using the status of your office to organize the people. That's why Malcolm's important. So elected officials, you know, they need to be having caucuses and they need to be listening to Malcolm. Yeah, right. So they can remind themselves of what their duties and responsibilities are. If they know what it is, then you should know. And then you can organize independent organizations in your community to push them, prod them, or run for office yourself. You may be the leader we've been looking for, with the right education, the right work in the community, because you just can't jump out there. Got to do that work in the community. Got to know the community's got to know you. Got to build up some reputation. Just can't jump up and read a book and hear a speech and go out there and say, I be the leader. That ain't going to work either. That's why listening to Malcolm is so incredibly important. He did the work. He did the work. He was passing out leaflets. You know what Professor Small said? This is Malcolm X passing out leaflets himself. That's a servant leader. That's somebody who's not just in it for the ego. He wasn't. He was passing out leaflets. Learn the lessons. Call us right now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Get you the premium. By any means necessary. Malcolm, real, not reimagined. And again, it includes 11 speeches. You'll never regret getting this. 11 speeches and interviews. Malcolm X presents a revolutionary alternative to this reformist trap. Taking up political alliances, what that means, how you form them, working for women's rights. Now, you know, we had in the hashtag, you know, Me Too movement. Here's Malcolm talking about women's rights. This is in the 60s, you know, when, you know, chauvinism was still riding high. Here's the enlightened Malcolm X talking about women's rights. U.S. intervention in the Congo. I mean, right now, look what's going on in the Congo. It's a mess. And Vietnam. Capitalism and socialism. We certainly need that analysis. Go to radio. Go to your phones right now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Again, I want at least 20 people during the course of this program, next hour and 15 minutes, in order to get this job done. Or at least, yeah, next hour and 15 minutes in order to get this job done. 516-620-3602. And again, the words of Professor Small. I'm going to keep pounding it. WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. That's why we should support WBAI. That's why we support WBAI. Not for the premium. We are getting the gift of all this analysis. I mean, just listen to what, I mean, every time I interview Professor Small, I learned a lot today. And I've interviewed him about Malcolm before. I mean, we need to sit him down. I hope he's writing a book. You know, we need, because he has all of these insights, you know, gave me an idea. You know, we need to have a forum. Just sit back and just listen to him and just like record it. Because, you know, sometimes activists don't have time. They don't do the writing they need to do. But he's got too much locked up in his brain. We got to get that out. I learned that just today. You learned it on WBAI. I didn't know it. Many of you probably didn't know it. But that's why this is a valuable opportunity. There was no commercial breaking up in here. There was no obligation to do something for some commercial entity, because ain't none. They're not sponsoring WBAI, and they're not, because we are part of the resistance and the effort for reformation. It ain't going to happen. It'll happen because we are supporting WBAI. And, again, let me just say this. No instrumentality. Institute of the Black World 21st Century? Not perfect. Certainly ain't perfect. I just came from a board meeting. There are people saying, "Look, so this, Ron, you correct that. We need to work on this." It's not perfect. It will never be. The perfection is in the striving. And a part of the striving, by the way, is becoming a WBAI buddy. Let me just say that. If we want WBAI to be better, if we want to have less pledge drives, then let's become WBAI buddies by the thousands. The thousands. That's the corrective. See, what happens over and over again is we hear the analysis of the problem. Then we hear the solution, but we somehow are paralyzed. We don't do that which is necessary. That is necessary in order to preserve those things that we know are needed for our defense and our development. That's why I've had to become a WBAI buddy. I can't urge you to do it, and I don't do it. I can't talk about the Koch brothers supporting, as I said last week, the United Negro College Fund, and I ain't contributed a dime to it. I can't tell you to go out there and support a black bank, and I don't have an account in a black bank. You know, I had my actions. The first criteria for your criticism is your own work. Your own work, right? You got to step forward. Got to stop being a spectator. Got to stop just being a radio listener and become a radio activist. I don't do this simply because I like to be on radio. I do this because it gives me a platform and hopefully to encourage you and it also to inspire you, to give you information, to act. At the end of the day, Mr. Say ain't nothing. Mr. Do is everything. You've got to act. If we don't act on it, It ain't happening. We are, as State Representative Mabel Thomas, he coined the phrase from Georgia, we are the leaders we've been looking for. Look in the mirror in the morning, it's you. That's right. You are the one we've been looking for. So go to your phone right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Let's light up those phones. They ain't lighting them up fast enough for me. Let's light them up. 516-620-3602. I want to take a break. But even if we take this break, we want to continue to have that those phones, those volunteers. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. We have those volunteers are waiting for you right now at 516-620-3602. We're going to take a brief break. We'll be right back here on Vantage Point. All right, we're back. I like my theme song. I like that. You know what I mean? Fight the power. You know, I had that because I may have shared with you when we were putting the show together. I wanted to use Fight the Power. I had to make a decision whether I would use Chuck D's Fight the Power or the Isley Brothers. So since I'm from the Civil Rights, Human Rights, Black Power generation, and Chuck D and them are from the revolutionary hip-hop generation, I said, let me stay in my lane. Let me just do the Isley Brothers Fight the Power. But it's the same message. Fight the power. And I like it. I like it. I think it gets the point across about what we're trying to achieve. So, brothers and sisters, quickly, let me just remind you of the pilgrimage that's taking place this coming Saturday in honor of El Haj Malik El Shabazz gathering at the Adam Clayton Powell State Office Building in Harlem at 8 o'clock a.m. sharp, pulling off to go to the Fernwood Cemetery, 45-minute drive at 10 o'clock, program and ceremony to be concluded and returning to Harlem by 2:30. So this is an important activity. We hope you'll join that as well. Also reminding you of the Haitian Flag Day activity that will be taking place in Flatbush. I'll try to gather some more information about that. I intend to be there on May 18th, Haitian Flag Day, as they push to have a section of Flatbush declared Little Haiti. I fully support this idea. And, of course, we're pushing people, asking you, want you to be with us to celebrate. It's going to be a celebratory event as I deliver my last lecture, my final lecture as distinguished lecturer at York College City, Center University of New York at the Performing Arts Center. There at at York College, City University of New York, and we're hoping that you'll turn out for that occasion. We're going to have a good time, have some food and music and all that good stuff, and then you know I'm gonna do this final lecture, and we hope you're going to be a part of that. And as I said before, there is parking. The people are concerned about parking. There's parking right next to the Performing Arts Center. Now, what we want to do is, again, continue to encourage you to go to your phones to listen to, let me go to your phones to pledge. That's what we're here to do. Again, in the first hour, we heard from Professor James Small. We got Imam Talib Abdul Rashid standing by to come up at the top of the hour. And he's the Imam of the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood, the lineal successor to the Muslim Mosque Incorporated. He'll give his perspective as well. If you want to go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. People are starting to call in. I want to get at least 20, if not more. Really should be more than that, but I'm trying, just at least 20. You know, we're getting a few. We're not there yet, and we got a lot more to go. 516-620-3602. Call in right now to get this premium. And again, I'm going to keep saying it. Professor James Small just gave me, I'm going to use this over and over again, WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. The premium, by any means necessary. Malcolm, real, not reimagined. 11 speeches and interviews with Malcolm X. You need to get them right now for your archives, for your toolkit, for educating and organizing and mobilizing and empowering black people. You need it right now. And if you're non-African, you need it too. You can gather. You can learn. Because among other things, we need people who are our allies organizing in the white community, in the Asian community, in the Latino community, but particularly in the white community. We need our white progressive allies to organize in the white community, to build strong partnerships. We need that very urgently. So you can listen to Malcolm too. The people that have been inspired, of all races, have been inspired by Elhas Malik El Shabazz. 516-620-3602. We're going to listen now to another excerpt from Elhas Malik El Shabazz.
So we thought that the first thing to do was to unite our people, not only unite us internally, but we have to be united with our brothers and sisters abroad. And it was for that purpose that I spent 5 months in the Middle East and Africa during the summer. And the trip was very enlightening, inspiring, and fruitful. I didn't go into any African country or any country in the Middle East for that matter and run into any closed door, closed mind, or closed heart. I found a warm reception and an amazingly deep interest and sympathy for the black man in this country in regards to our struggle for human rights. While I was traveling, I had a chance to speak in Cairo, or rather Alexandria, with President Nasser for about an hour and a half, who's a very brilliant man, and I can see why they're so afraid of him. And they are afraid of him. They know he can cut off their oil. And actually, the only thing power respects is power. And whenever you find a man who's in the position to show power against power, then that man is respected. But you can take a man who has power and love him all the rest of your life, and nonviolently and forgivingly and all the rest of those off-time things, and you won't get anything out of it. So I also had a chance to speak to President Nyerere in Tanganyika, which is now Tanzania, and also Kenyatta, all of whom, I know that all of you know him. He was the head of the Mau Mau, which really brought freedom to many of the African countries. This is true. The Mau Mau played a major role in bringing about freedom for Kenya, and not only for Kenya, but other African countries, because what the Mau Mau did frightened the white man so much in other countries until he said, well, I better get this thing straight before some of them pop up here. And this is good to study because you see what makes him react. And nothing lovingly makes him react. And nothing forgiving makes him react. The only time he reacts is when he knows you can hurt him. And when you let him know you can hurt him, he has to think two or three times before he tries to hurt you. But if you're not going to do nothing but return that hurt with love, why, good night. He knows you're out of your mind. And also, I had an opportunity to speak with President Azikiwe in Nigeria, President Nkrumah in Ghana, and President Sekou Touré in Guinea. And in all of these people, I found nothing but warm friendship, sympathy, and a desire to help the black man in this country in fighting our problem. We have a very complex problem. Now, I hope you forgive me for just speaking so informally tonight, but I frankly think it's always better to be informal. As far as I'm concerned, I can speak to people better in an informal way than I can with all of this stiff formality that ends up meaning nothing. Plus, when people are informal, they're relaxed. When they're relaxed, the mind is more open, and they can weigh things more objectively. And whenever you and I are discussing our problems, we need to be very objective, very cool, calm, collected. But that doesn't mean we should always be. There's a time to be cool and a time to be hot. And see, you got messed up into thinking that there's only one time for everything. There's a time to love and a time to hate. Even Solomon said that, and he was in that book too. You just taking something out of the book that fits your cowardly nature. And when you don't want to fight, you say, well, Jesus said don't fight. But I don't even believe Jesus said that.
Okay, all right. Well, that's another excerpt from the premium. And you hear, now check this out. Now, this is Malcolm X. He was so revered and respected that he was being received by heads of state from around the world. He's being received by heads of state. Gamal Abdel Nasser, President Julius K. Nyerere. You know, this is Jomo Kenyatta. You see what I'm saying? This is the stature. I'm going to say he dies at 39. As a young man, he's being accepted because of the power of his ideas, what he represented in terms of Pan-Africanism, and his being way ahead in terms of understanding the necessity of the unity of black people across the world. Now, it's complicated there because, you know, ain't all black people going to come together in certain ways, because some people ain't, or as Charles Barron says, Assemblyman Charles Barron, are cosmetically black, not authentically black. And so sometimes it's hard to get us to unify. But here you have Malcolm X, you know, talking about the need for African unity and how he's being received as he is feeling out how to build the organization African American Unity and other kinds of formations to strive for the liberation of black people. The clarity, the brilliance, the ingenuity. And so you need again to have this information to play and listen to as we continue to encourage ourselves. I need the encouragement because it's hard out here. It's hard out here on a social activist. It's hard out here on a political activist. It's not easy work to face the kinds of difficulties that we face every day. The kind of stuff that's going on that you thought would have disappeared. That's happening every day, including the ever-present face of white supremacy manifesting itself. Don't make no difference what class you are. Them brothers down in Philadelphia, these black professionals, they didn't have on their suits and ties and all that. They don't have to have on those suits and ties. Sitting there in Starbucks being harassed. You know, a student falling asleep at one of the universities, I forget which one, maybe Harvard somewhere, and then the cops get called on her. You know, I mean, people in one of these rental units and come out and the neighbor waves, they don't wave back, and all of a sudden they call the cops. I mean, goodness gracious. Incident after incident after incident of the fear of the dangerous black man and woman in America based on all these stereotypical images that are being promoted out here. Yeah, well, you can be professor this or president this or whatever. You know, the only thing that separates you from the brothers and sisters in the hood is, you know, you may have a little bit more, but you still will be harassed, you know, shopping while black, driving while black, you know, having a cup of coffee while black. I mean, goodness gracious. So it means that, you know, the fact that you got some professionals, that means somehow some people that busted and broken into a certain class on the backs of the human rights, civil rights movement. Sometimes this is good because it reminds us. It reminds us of who we are. It reminds us not to forget. It reminds us of the utter need for unity. You know, a lot of these people, by the way, you know, I noticed some young brothers and sisters the other day, and some of them were from the continent, no doubt. And for them, I'm sure it was shocking to see an instance in which now they find themselves, you know, being discriminated against in a way that was not the case, you know, when they may have been on the African continent. All of this says you need this premium. You need this premium. It's an educational tool. So go to your phones right now. Go to your phones right now. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You've heard the word directly from Malcolm himself. And you've heard Professor James Small say the WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. We need to preserve it. We need to strengthen it. To have this kind of voice, to just be able to get to hear Professor Small's interpretation was so just so insightful today. And now we have someone else coming up who's going to share other insights as well. So while we get ready to hear from Imam Talib Abdul Rashid, go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602 right now. And make your contribution, make your pledge, just $85, just $85. You know, that is and is not a lot of money. But we blow a lot, many of us in this audience out here, y'all know it. If you look yourself in the mirror, you know you spend a lot of money on stuff that you could just give up. So this is a small, sacrificial, it ain't even sacrificial for many people. Say, well, I give Dave WBI already. Well, did you give enough? Somebody said, give until it hurts. Give until you feel it, right? I mean, have you given enough to WBAI? It's not whether you've given already. So for those who've already given, give again. Well, I gave to another show. Well, fine, give to another show. I mean, keep giving because it's important. But my pitch is to their listening right now, in this audience, right now, there are persons who have never, ever given a single contribution to WBAI. Others who have given it episodic, gave a contribution last year, supposed to ride on that, now henceforth and ever. Well, it don't work that way. We need regular contributors. And so for those of you who've never, ever, just think about it, never given before, but have benefited from listening to this information, go to your radio right. Go to your phones right now. Go to the phone, 516-620-360. Say, today, right now, I agree. Having listened to Professor James Small, having listened to Malcolm and about these great premiums, I agree today that I'm making a contribution $85 or more, but at least $85 for this premium by any means necessary. Malcolm, real, not reimagined. 11 speeches by Malcolm X. Get those premiums and use them to educate and organize our people. 516-620-3602. Go to your phones right now. Now, delighted to welcome to our microphones one of my favorite people, and certainly my wife and partner's favorite people, because she loves her some Imam Talib Abdul Rashid. Welcome to Vantage Point, my dear beloved brother.
Thank you, and peace and greetings, Professor Daniel.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to ask you about first of all, Malcolm's birthday is this coming Saturday, and Professor Small has already talked about the pilgrimage and also mentioned, and we'll ask you to conclude about this too, because we know that the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood is having a bus going to the pilgrimage as well. But before we do that, tell us about how you encountered Malcolm, and how were you influenced by his, by his political ideas?
Yes, well, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the merciful, the compassionate. That influence on my psyche and my consciousness started when I was a teenager. I think I'm slightly younger than you and Baba Small. And so when Al-Hajj Malik el-Shabazz Malcolm X was martyred, I had just turned 14 years old. And so as I'm growing and maturing as a teenager, his voice, his lectures were still very much in the public square. You know, you could buy records and then later tapes and things of that nature. And then I'm trying to think, you know, oftentimes as I'm watching the History Channel, they refer to the year 1968 as quote-unquote the year that changed the world. Well, I was 17 years old in 1968, and in 1968, I began involving myself in political activism, going to rallies, going to demonstrations, doing work as a junior in high school, and that voice of Malik Shabazz was a constant guide. Most people know me from living in New York most of my life, but I'm not from New York. I was born in Greensboro, North Carolina, and moved to New York. My mother brought us to New York as a child. So all of that, the civil rights activity, and by the way, late colleague of yours, Dr. Daniels, and I'm speaking of none other than the late Professor Vincent Harding.
Oh, yes.
Who's one of the architects of that movement. Yet toward the tail end of his life, he stopped referring to the activity of that period as the civil rights movement. And he started calling it a black-led freedom movement for the expansion of democracy in America. Mm. And I love to use his wording. And so being born under the shadow of American apartheid and having spent my childhood in the South, even after we moved to New York, moved to the South Bronx and what have you, I was still going back and forth between New York and Greensboro every summer. So as everything is unfolding there, even as a youngster, I'm contrasting racism down south with racism up south.
Right.
And of course, Malik Shabazz's voice, his teaching, his guidance was like a beacon to me as a young person. And then at the age of 20, this is after 3 years after I really started becoming politically aware, at the age of 20, I became a Muslim, and I was guided to the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood. And so throughout my life, I mean, I'm 67 years old now. And throughout my life, you know, studying Malcolm, studying the sources, trying to uphold the legacy and be with those who, like yourself and others, have still holding up the flag. He has just become a crucial and central person in my life and in my consciousness.
What would you say, just from all of your study, and it's good to hear you trace all that information and all of that history for our audience, what would you say are some of the most important tenets of Malcolm's thought? I mean, there's obviously many, many, but what are some of the tenets that you would uphold as being the most important, particularly in these very difficult times that we live now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And actually, you already mentioned one of them, which is education. Malik Shabazz, Malcolm X, he was from a family that placed a high premium on education. You know, a lot of times you talk to today's young people and you find they have a stereotypical understanding of him because of his phase as a young person when he became immersed in the streets and ended up incarcerated. And every young person can relate. Oh, yeah, he started with the dictionary, with aardvark and then worked his way forward as if he was just learning how to read then. No, what happened during his incarceration was the value, the family value of high premium on education that was placed in him as a young person was rebooted, and he began to refocus his mind. It's very important to know that when he was a child, here he is in the segregated, racist Midwest, only black child in his class at school, in elementary school, yet he's the president of the class. So brilliant was he. His mother instilled in him and his siblings a love for education. We should never forget that when he was young, he wanted to be a lawyer. And right up until the end of his life, he stressed education one. Another key principle in shaping him, making him who he was Pan-Africanism, as taught by the Honorable Mosiah Marcus Garvey. And again, people, you know, I listen to a lot of talks and lectures, and sometimes I hear people downplaying the critical role of Garvey in the psyche of the Little family. We should always remember that his mother and father were Garveyites. His father was a kind of itinerant preacher in the Garvey black nationalist influence on religion type of mold. It was, I once saw on the program of the late Gil Noble, he was interviewing one or two of Malcolm's siblings. And one of them said that when Malcolm was incarcerated and they went to visit him, they began speaking to him about the Nation of Islam, that their family saw the Nation of Islam in the phase that it was in back in the 1950s as being a sort of successor to the Garvey movement, because they were Garveyites.
Right.
And Malcolm remained a Garveyite until his departure from this life. It was his foundation in Garveyism that served as a kind of beacon for him in his development. He brought that orientation to the Nation of Islam when he became a member there. After he was no longer a member of the Nation of Islam and began to evolve towards Sunni Islam, he still retained his Garveyite roots and expanded them to a broader Pan-Africanism. And then thirdly and lastly would be his sincerity and I would say fierce belief in Almighty God. Malcolm X, or Hajj Malik el-Shabazz, was a God-fearing person. He was raised in a God-fearing family, like the prodigal son that is mentioned in the Bible. At one time, at one point, after the disruption of his family, under circumstances that we all know well, you know, he went out into the world. He became a creative criminal, and then eventually was called back to who he was. When his siblings were visiting him in prison, they were saying to him, "Malcolm, have you lost your mind? Have you forgotten who we are as a family? Have you forgotten the values that our parents placed on in us?" And they called him back to himself. And so, but the light that was provided to guide him from darkness to light was a light of belief in Almighty God. And he, as you said a little while ago, a little earlier, you know, he was evolving. He didn't just evolve politically in his understanding. He also evolved religiously in his understanding. But regardless of whether he was Malcolm X, Minister Malcolm X, Malcolm Shabazz, Malik Shabazz, El-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz, throughout all those phases of his development, he was a sincere and dedicated believer. And you cannot, even though some people try to do it, one simply cannot separate his belief in Almighty God, his prayers, his fasting, his austere way of life. One cannot separate him from the total picture of who he was as a person and as a leader.
Finally, really, really appreciate that. In that regard, how would you characterize, because you are now the imam of the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood, which is the linear successor, if I'm correct, of Muslim Mosque Incorporated. So talk to us about sort of its unique role. I mean, it's not just another mosque, so to speak. It seems that it's reflective of what Malcolm was about. And so I'd like for you to share that with our audience.
Yeah, there are people who sometimes ask me, why is it that you refer to the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood as the lineal successor to the Muslim Mosque Incorporated? And the first thing I always point out to them is that's not just something that we're saying. That, you know, if you listen to Baba Smalls, he said it many a time, Baba James Smalls, when he was still with us, even late Baba Herman Ferguson said it publicly. And my second answer to them is because when Minister Malcolm X separated from the Nation of Islam, being an organization person, the first thing that he and the people who were with him did was they formed two organizations. The first one was the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, their religious foundation. And the second one was the Organization of Afro-American Unity, designed to create a kind of bridge between Muslim Mosque Incorporated and Muslims who were following Malcolm X and the broader community. And then after the martyrdom of Minister Malcolm El-Hajj Malik, then those same Muslims who had been members of the Muslim Mosque Incorporated and who were based here in New York and remained in New York after the headquarters for the Muslim Mosque Incorporated shifted to Boston with Sister Ella. Many of the African-American Sunni Muslims here in New York, and one of them was our founding imam and teacher, who was in Egypt at Al-Azhar University when Malik Shabazz was martyred. And years later, when he returned, he got together with those brothers and sisters who had, like himself, been members of the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, and they formed the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood. And so when I joined the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood as a 20-year-old in 1971, my late teacher, our founder, was one of those African-American Sunni Muslim followers of Al-Hajj Malik El-Shabazz. He was never in the Nation of Islam. His own parents had been in the Morris Science Temple, but he was a Sunni Muslim. And so the foundation was laid for us. One of our mutual colleagues, Dr. Daniels, Professor Dr. Amir al-Islam, he wrote his PhD dissertation on what he called African-American Sunni Islam. And in there, he describes the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood as practicing, quote, unquote, African-American-centered Islamicity. That's his phrase. But that African-American-centered Islamicity, in which we strive to practice both the universal and the particular within our faith, the roots of that go back to the Hajj Malik of Shabazz, the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, back to the Garvey Movement, and back to the Muslim revolutionaries of West Africa who opposed European colonialism in the 18th and 19th century.
Wow. Well, we thank you so much for laying that out for our audience. And
thank you.
We look forward to the pilgrimage, and we know that it'll be successful, and the leadership that you have played over the years in keeping the memory of Malik Shabazz alive through not only the Muslim Mosque Incorporated, but the Betty Shabazz and Malcolm X Educational Center and all of that good work. So thank you so much for sharing time with us this morning here on WBAI on Vantage Point.
You're welcome, Dr. Daniels, and let me just repeat what you said before, and that is that in addition to the buses going up to the 53rd Malcolm X pilgrimage, in addition to those that are meeting at the Harlem State Office Building, we of the mosque are also sponsoring a free bus, that will be leaving from Masjid Malcolm Shabazz at 10 a.m., Masjid Malcolm Shabazz, 102 West 116th Street. And then after the 53rd pilgrimage over the past few years, those of us specifically who are Muslims, we have been staying behind after the greater community gathering and having an affair that we call the Ziyara, wherein we recite from the Quran, we offer traditional Islamic prayers at the grave of both Malcolm and Betty, Malik Shabazz and Betty Bahia Shabazz. And then because we'll be in Ramadan by this year, we'll be coming back to the mosque afterwards, and in the evening we'll have special lectures talking about the legacy of Malik Shabazz and his African roots. So we want to invite people to be up there in Ferncliff Cemetery for the 53rd Malcolm X pilgrimage, to stay behind from 1:30 to 2:30 with those of us who are Muslims to offer prayers, and to meet us in the evening after 7:30 p.m. at the Mosque of Islamic Brotherhood, which is at 130, that's 130 West 113th Street, on the corner of St. Nicholas Avenue between Malcolm X Boulevard and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard. And all are welcome.
And as you conclude, why should people purchase the premium here on WBI by any means necessary, Malcolm Real, Not Reimagined?
Because there is a constant onslaught of fake news, the kind of fake news that always targets our leaders, not the kind that Donald Trump is talking about, that seeks, as you said, to homogenize him. You know, that in too many cases, the image of Malcolm X, like the image of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., that is in the minds of today's generation, is a fake, homogenized image and understanding. And the archival material that's being offered by WBAI will help to keep the history straight, keep our understanding straight, because when we have right understanding, we can have right actions.
Right.
And so it's important to you do this every year, Brother Ron. May Allah bless you. But
all
it's
right.
Important to support the effort, because there's no more accurate accounting of what Malik Shabazz said and stood for than the words that came out of his mouth.
Right. Thank you so much, Imam. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome, and thank you, brother. Peace and greetings. Salaam alaikum.
Alaikum salam. All right, well, you heard Imam Talib Abdul Rashid. We bring on people like that to help you understand why the premiums are important. And we only have like a half an hour left, and so we really, really, really want to achieve our goal of getting our 20 people, at least 20 people. We have at least 20 people to get the premium by any means necessary. Malcolm, real, not reimagined. Malik Shabazz, as Imam Talib continued to refer to him, really because of his Muslim name as well, I'm sure. And then we heard Professor Small talking about the fact that Malcolm is, WBAI is the Malcolm of the media. Boy, that was powerful. And Malcolm is powerful. And you need to have this powerful premium, this powerful premium. Scores of people out there who have listened, who have heard. Some of you already have some of his speeches. You may not have all of them. There are in this collection 11 speeches and interviews. 11 speeches and interviews. Now, many of us have Message to the Grassroots, and you have Ballot of Bullets. Those are among his most popular, or perhaps the most popular. But there are many, many, many other speeches by Malcolm. He was deep, deep, expansive in terms of his knowledge. And so you hear him now, you know, talking about the principles of the Organization of African American Unity. You're talking to him about, and you know, his travels to meet with these heads of state. You're hearing how he formed the Muslim Mosque Incorporated. Talked about what his mission was, you know, before he was martyred. And we have an obligation to continue that legacy today because it's still applicable. There's still many, many lessons that need to be translated into action. And so that's why these premiums are so valuable. So go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602. Let me say it again, 516-620-3602. Thank you. I see a call or two coming in. Right. We like that. Come on, we need more. We need more calls coming in. Need more calls coming in. And a special challenge to the hundreds, if not thousands, of listeners out there who've never contributed to WBI at all. Today is your moment. Today is your time as we remember Malcolm. Remember Malcolm by emulating his teachings. Remember Malcolm by taking a step to empower yourself with the knowledge that he shared. And you can do that by tapping into the incredible archives we have at WBAI, among them this premium, By Any Means Necessary, Malcolm, Real, Not Reimagined, 11 speeches and interviews where he talks about political alliances, women's rights, the U.S. intervention in the Congo and Vietnam, the whole question of capitalism, socialism, and much more is at your disposal for just $85, just $85. A lot of money, but not a lot of money. We know that many, many people, many, many, many. And by the way, if you can't afford it, we appreciate you. We love you. We understand if you don't have $85. You heard Professor Small say they take up a contribution for the buses. Shouldn't be a problem. These things should never, if we're talking about in the spirit of Marcus Garvey, none of these things should ever be a problem. We in the black community, there are some of us who have $1.2 trillion worth of income now. $1.2 trillion. Shouldn't be begging. Should be using it to build our own economic infrastructure, as Malcolm taught us, by way of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, by way of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and many others. And Martin Luther King, too, for that matter. Shouldn't be begging. And should be using that $1.2 trillion as a weapon in the black freedom struggle. Rewarding our friends, those who respect us, and punishing our enemies, our adversaries. By any means necessary, that's what Malcolm's talking about. But we ain't learned yet. We're not quite there yet. There should be, the WBAI's future should never be in doubt, ever. Because it is, as Professor James Small said, it is the Malcolm of the media. Gotta support those things that support us. And again, Working to build the organization Afro-American Unity was not easy. Actually, it didn't quite survive. But it survived in the manifestations, many other manifestations. That's why Garvey said, look for me in the whirlwind and in the storm. It doesn't have to be precisely in the UNIA. It's in the whirlwind and in the storm. So many different manifestations. And, you know, we see Muslim mosques incorporate, the mosque of Islamic Brotherhood has survived doing the work. But we still pay for what we want and beg for what we need. Pay for what we want and beg for what we need. I can do better. Every pledge drive, I support the pledge drive. I'm the host, but I still contribute. I'm a WBAI buddy. WBAI buddy, it's just $10, just $10. You can't afford $85 today. $10 a month. $10 a month. Call right now. Say, hey, I can't afford the $85, but I can do $10 a month coming out of my checking account or my savings account. I can do that. I am willing to do that. Because I've heard the words from Professor James Small. I've heard the words from Imam Talib Abdul Rashid. I have heard the voice of Malcolm X himself saying, we must control the politics and economics of our community. We must be self-sufficient, self-reliant. Not going to be able to count on the Koch brothers to fund this when we fighting the Koch brothers. That ain't happening. Can't count on corporate America to support BAI when we are fighting the power. Fight the power, which is corporate America. We are the ones that have to do that. That's the lesson I'm trying to suggest to you. Right? I'm urging, encouraging, because that's what it takes. But we have to beg too hard. Shouldn't have to beg this hard. Brothers and sisters, reluctant one that's out there, that is never ever, you know, just listening and enjoying, but never, and got the resources, but never picked up that phone to call WBAI. Just never took that. Didn't ask you to go on the front lines of the picket line. Didn't ask you to go face the cops. Didn't ask you, you could do that too. Didn't ask you to put your life on the line necessarily, though Malcolm put his life on the line. Just asking you to make a phone call. Just asking you to spend $85 to get this premium. Or become a WBAI buddy by as little as $10 a month, $120 a year. Credit card or checking account. Yes, to become a WBAI buddy should be blowing the phones up. Phones should be blowing up. I know I sound redundant. I won't change because there's no other way. I know no other way to do this except to appeal you directly to do what's necessary in order to support WBAI, because WBAI is the Malcolm of the media, quote unquote, Professor James Small. Go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Again, 516-620-3602. Blow those phones up. Make this the day that you take the step. Those of you who have never given before. And when you call up, tell them, I've heard the voice of the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels urging and appealing. I today have made the decision that I'm supporting WBAI. I'm taking that step. I'm moving forward because I understand. But touched by the words of Malcolm, touched by the words of Professor Small, touched by the words of Imam Talib Abdul Rashid, I've heard it. I'm ready to move now. I'm ready for the revolution, as Kwame Ture would say, taking that step. Because this is a part of it. This is a part of it. Small step. Journey of 1,000 miles began with the first step. You may want to be critical, but the first criteria for your criticism is your own work. That's why, again, you know, I contribute. I do the best I can. But I can still do more. And I will do more. I have to do more. History demands that I do more. Not everybody will be Malcolm. Not everybody will be on the front lines marching with Movement for Black Lives or Black Lives Matter. Not everybody will be in the streets, though it's a good thing to be in the streets. But if you can't be in the streets, support those who are in the streets. If you are not necessarily a part of an organization, help fund an organization. If you are not, if you are a listener, become again transformed to a listener, to an active, an active contributor to WBAI. Because it is the voice that is helping to inspire people, to encourage people, inform people, provide the knowledge that empowers them to act, to be in the streets. So call us right now, 516-620-3602. That's 516-620-3602. Call right now. We're still, we're only halfway to our goal. We said 20 people. We only got, what, we got 11? We know we need to have 20 people. That's short. We need to be 30. I like to blow the roof off. I like to just take that number higher, but I thought I'd start with a modest goal. $85. Just $85. 516-620-3602. Go to your phones right now. Volunteers are waiting for you. Are waiting for you. They're sitting. They give up their time and their energy to come, to come there, to be, to receive your contributions and your donations. Don't have them sit there idly. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. That's a little bit better. Keep ringing those phones. 516-620-3602. And if the phone is busy, call back. Don't just give up. Don't let nobody turn you around. I mean, come on. Don't let nobody turn you around now. Don't let a busy signal turn you around. When the phone stops ringing, you know, just come back in there again. 516-620-3602. We're going to take a brief break. Come back. We're going to keep pitching. We're going to keep listening. We're going to achieve our goal of at least 20 people today, the premium, by any means necessary. Malcolm, real, not reimagined, $85, just $85. And WBAI buddies should just be piling them up by the dozens. WBAI buddies, just $10, just $10 per month, $120 a year. And you can go to give2wbai.org. Go to the website, give2wbai.org. Give2wbai.org. Sign up. Or you can call. They'll sign you up by phone as well. And tell them that you heard it from the professor, okay? I mean, I want Vantage Point to be shining out here. I want Vantage Point to be on point. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
So they are beginning to see that it is not we who should be taking our problem to Washington, but it is we who should be taking Washington to the United Nations. It is not we who have committed the crime. It is not we who have committed the crime. It is our government that has committed the crime. Our government has failed to protect our lives, to protect our property, to give us proper education. It has failed to even give us the proper facilities for education. It has failed to house us. It has failed, as the men there in the book up in Boston, when they dumped all the tea in the sea, taxation without representation has got to go. So I say in my conclusion, to read from another newspaper, many of you say, well, would we have the right to take the problem of the black man in this country before the UN? I say yes, because here it says, this was in the Post a couple days ago, the Post is a New York paper, represents itself as liberal, which is a misrepresentation. It says, House asked to condemn Soviet treatment of Jews. Representative Halpern of Queens urged the House today to condemn what he termed the odious and discriminatory treatment of the Jewish community in the Soviet Union. He drafted resolutions for introduction that would condemn Russia for the persecution of Jews, and placed the House on record as favoring continued American efforts to obtain through the UN world condemnation and prohibition of anti-Semitism in treaty form. Soviet policy, Halpern said in a prepared speech, involves a premeditated effort to stamp out Jewish culture and religion. It is a deliberate policy, but also a secretive one. If this representative voted into office, probably by many people sitting right here, can go to Washington, D.C., and get that house, that governmental body, to stick its nose in what's happening to 3 million people all the way on the other side of the world, and have that government brought into the United Nations and condemned for its abuse of the rights of those 3 million people, I say that the 22 million black people in this country are justified and within our rights as our brothers on the African continent to take this government into the United Nations and protect us.
Well, you hear the power. That was one of the great powers of Malcolm X. The way in which he could take an idea like that and just make it plain. Just as Joe Madison would say, get it, bring it down where the ghosts can get it. He didn't object to the esteemed representative appealing to the Congress of the United States to protect the interests of Jews in the Soviet Union. He didn't object to that. If they're being harmed, they should, the United Nations should support. But he was pointing out the hypocrisy of a government that could call for the defense of another people way across the pond in the Soviet Union, but could not even defend its own citizens. Malcolm said, if they got a case, we got a case. 3 million in the Soviet Union, 22 million in this country deserve to have our case before the United Nations. And by the way, we're still trying to do that. Through the UN decade of people of African descent, we are raising the question of the plight of Africans in this country. The UN repertoire recently came to this country and talked about the issues of police brutality and the issues of depravity in terms of education, economic development, all those issues still being an issue. That's because of the influence of people like not only Malcolm, but William Patterson and others who have seen this as a human rights struggle, not just a civil rights struggle. Lesson to be learned. Same thing. By many, many others historically, raising those questions of taking the United States government to the United States. Paul Robeson among them as well. And I got to say, in this city, the organization that has been most prominent in pushing that position has been the December 12th movement. They have been in that spirit, constantly raising these issues before the United Nations. The National Black United Front, under the leadership of Dr. Conrad Wuerl, raising this issue. In fact, he had a campaign, We Charge Genocide, for that reason, inspired by Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz, Malcolm X. And so, again, you know, just hearing him, and he just did over and over and over again, he takes an idea and helps you understand it clearly, so clearly, that if you don't move on it, then you should feel embarrassed. Because he's making it plain, making it straightforward and simple in a way that empowers you to act if you have the courage to act. Now, the question is, do you have the audacity? Do you have the willingness today to step forward and support WBAI and Vantage Point? And I know, yeah, well, y'all got pledge drives. Yeah, we got our pledge drives. Wish we didn't have pledge drives. You know, a few thousand people would step up and become WBAI buddies. Maybe no pledge drives. But in some ways, pledge drives are good. Fewer of them maybe, but they're not bad. Why? Because we get a chance to do what we did this morning, to share these incredible premiums. One of the great assets of WBAI is it has this enormous, and Pacifica, enormous treasure trove of videos and tapes and so many different things. These incredible educational tools, not only the ones that's across the spectrum, you know, health and education. This is a wealth of resources we have here. Got to preserve it. And so even before I was on, you know, on the air, I still contributed to WBAI. I don't only contribute to WBAI. I contribute to WPFW in Washington, D.C., have contributed to Radio Free Georgia as well in Atlanta. I haven't contributed yet to the station in Houston, L.A., or in Berkeley, California, in Oakland. But, I mean, I'm just showing you. I mean, I contribute across the board because I understand it's a strategic institution. I understand it is, as James Small said, the Malcolm of the media. And so in these last remaining minutes, and we just got a few more minutes, we're short about seven people. But I want to go past that seven. Can we blow through the 20 and go to 30? Why not? Let's get it done. Let's do this, if you will. Go to your phones right now, 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. What are you talking about, Professor? Well, I'm talking about by any means necessary. One of Malcolm's most famous quotes, freedom by any means necessary. The premium today, Malcolm X, real, not reimagined. 11 speeches and interviews in which Malcolm talks about the reformist trap. He talks about political alliances, women's rights, U.S. intervention in the Congo and Vietnam, capitalism and socialism and much more. Malcolm was deep and his thought is still deep. He lives in these tapes. He lives in terms of a legacy of having stood up for human rights and nationalism, Pan-Africanism, all of that, and for the oppressed people of the world. That's Malcolm X. Go to your phone right now. Get it. And you need it for your treasure trove. You need it for your archives. You need it as a teaching tool. My message really doesn't change much. And it won't change much. It won't change next week. It won't change the week after next. Because it is the same essential message. I don't know how to dress it up. I don't know how to make it more pretty. I don't know how to market it any better than the raw, naked reality that we need, that knowledge is power, that education for liberation is power. And we as black people need power. We need allies out there who can be empowered, be they Latino, be they Asian, be they Asian South Pacific Islanders, be they Muslim, be they Christian, be they Buddhist, whatever. We need power in order to transform ourselves and to transform this nation and this world. We are the leaders we have been looking for. Face up to it. And that part of that leadership is to support vital institutions, not just WBAI. Many institutions that are out there striving and struggling in different causes. Ask yourself, how do you spend your money? How do you spend your resources, those of you who have benefited from the black liberation struggle? Yeah, you may be harassed. You may not be as free as you would like to be. But the old folks say, we're showing what we want to be, showing what we're going to be, but we're showing what we were. We have now more black people in the middle class, more people who have jobs, more people than ever before. But there's also another, and I'll talk about this on Thursday, there's this other black America that's catching more hell than ever before. But for those of us who are doing reasonably well, how do we spend our money? And I said before, I am not free. I don't care how many doctors in front of my name, how many professors in front of my name. I don't care nothing. Distinguished this, that, and the other. Don't matter. Because I, too, can be profiled and have been profiled. I, too, will be denied. And the bottom line is, it doesn't matter if I'm ever stopped by the police. As long as any brother or sister is stopped and frisked. As long as the number of women in prison are increasing, as long as, in fact, we have situations where our brothers and sisters are being profiled on the streets in disproportionate numbers, as long as they're being blocked from getting jobs because of the war on drugs, as long as we have this internal violence and fratricide, which at its root comes from this racist capitalist political system that has decimated our communities, as long as that's going on, I am not free. Not free. I'm clear about that. You ought to be too. It's about the fact that we have to be for each other. I am because you are. You are because I am. It is the notion of Ubuntu, the South African concept. That's what we have to live for. So therefore, I'm not free. Not free. And I understand that. You need to understand that. And therefore, we need to expand the consciousness, the knowledge, and empower a larger number of people to become engaged in this struggle at various levels. Some will be on the front lines. Others will support those on the front lines. But there are many of you out there spectating, having benefited from the Black Power Movement, Black NASA's, Black Arts and Culture Movement, the Civil Rights Movement, got a job that you would not have had had it not been for these momentous struggles. And yet, you contribute virtually nothing back. I'm not trying to guilt trip you. I'm just trying to challenge you that if we are to do better, if we are to eradicate the evils that we face and to break finally, definitively, the color line that Du Bois talked about, that we got to do better. We got to be able to support those black businesses in our community. Make them better. They got to do better. They can't just be doing no, can't be shucking and jiving. They must do better. They have to do quality products. Excellence must be the criteria for our support. But we have billions of dollars, trillions of dollars at our disposal that we must use for our own self-development. That's what Malcolm taught us. And that's what we must be about. Go to your phones now. We're just short. 516-620-3602. Let's get the rest of them in. 516-620-3602. Let's get them in. And then those WBAI buddies, sign up for both. Make an $85 contribution for the premium by any means necessary. And then while you're on the phone, say, look, and I also agree to become a WBAI buddy because I can give $10 a month. Do both. Do a double hit today because it's needed. Do a double hit. And for those of you who cannot give the $85, but who can give $10 a month because it comes out of your credit card or your savings account, call 516-620-3602 and say that. Can't afford the premium for today. Wish I could, but I can afford $10 a month. I'll do that in support of WBAI. And if literally thousands of people do that, we'll have less pledge drive. We'll always have pledge drives, but we'll have less pledge drives. I think the pledge drives are good. But we have to give, we have to do so many because we have to keep begging so hard because we don't have enough people supporting for various reasons. And by the way, I'm just saying, nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. But in this imperfect medium, you have heard tremendous information this morning. So I just got 2 minutes left. Just 2 minutes left. Go to your phones right now. 516-620-3602. Support it. Blow the phones up. Get me over the top, please. As I continue to talk about, you know, go to the pilgrimage this weekend. Support the effort of the Haitians to declare a district in Brooklyn, Little Haiti. And I'm encouraging you to come out also for my final campus community lecture, Finishing the Unfinished Black Freedom Struggle. That's this coming Thursday, May 17th, on the occasion of the 64th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. Reception is at 6 o'clock. Program starts at 7. It's in the atrium of the Performing Arts Center, 9445 Guy Brewer Boulevard in Queens, 9445 Guy Brewer Boulevard. That's 11451. And the J or Z trains to Jamaica Center. And there is parking right next to the Performing Arts Center. So you don't have to worry about parking. It's easy to get there. And we're looking for you to come in large numbers to my final campus community lecture. But as we go off the air, and by the way, if you need further information, you can also, you hear on the PSA the number to call to get final information. But in any event, as I go off the air, just 1 minute left, 1 minute left. 1 minute left, 516-620-3602. Come on, folks. Come on. Come on. Let's get it done. 516-620-3602. Love you. Appreciate you. You know, I may be begging hard, pleading hard, maybe coming at you, but I love you. I love our people. I know that we've gone through a lot. We've been a lot, but we've got to overcome. We will overcome if we just do what we need to do to support WBAI and the struggle. 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. This is the professor. Not only will I see you next week, I'm looking to see you on this coming Thursday at your college for my final campus community lecture. Be there. And see you also next week on Vantage Point. We gotta fight, 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 yeah, yeah.
the ancient words of Allah. Claim the pilgrimage among men. They will come on foot and upon lean camel. They will come from every deep ravine. From Mecca, the holy city of Islam, I wrote to friends in America. Never have I witnessed such sincere hospitality and true brotherhood as is practiced here in this ancient holy land, the home of Abraham, Muhammad, and all the other prophets of the Holy Scriptures. You may be shocked at these words coming from me, but what I have seen has forced me to rearrange much of my thought patterns previously held, to toss aside some of my previous conclusions. For during the past 11 days, I've eaten from the same plate, same glass, slept on the same rug, and prayed to the same God with fellow Muslims whose eyes were the bluest of blue, whose hair was the blondest of blonde, and whose skin was the whitest of white. We are truly the same because their belief in one God has removed the white from their minds, the white from their behavior, and the white from their attitudes. Wearing the ihram garb of a pilgrim, I made the seven circuits around the Kaaba. I drank from the sacred well of Zemzem. I ran between the hills of Safa and Marwa. I stood on and with my brothers proclaimed, I come, O Lord, I come. God is great. Lead us, O Lord, in peace. And for the first time in my 39 years on this earth, I stood before the Creator of all and felt like a complete human being. Sincerely, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X.
I think a lot of people confused by the new Arabic name, El Hajj Malik El Shabazz.
I've always had the name on my passport, Malik El Shabazz, only I only used it in the Muslim world. Well, Hajj is a title that is given to any Muslim who makes the during the official Hajj season.
Well, will you now use Shabazz and drop X?
I'll probably continue to use Malcolm X because, and I'll probably use it as long as the situation that produced it exists.
you don't feel that Shabazz takes the place of X?
My going to Mecca and going into the Muslim world, into the African world, and being recognized and accepted as a Muslim and as a brother may solve the problem for me personally. But I personally feel that my personal problem is never solved.
Vantage point.
The problem is not solved for all of our people in this country.
With Professor Ron Daniels here on WBAI. And you know something, Ron Daniels, you're not trying to make it prettier. You can't. No, you don't need to make it pretty. Your entreaty to all of us is enough. Asking people to become BAI buddies. That is enough. Make the call now. Support WBAI at 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You know, some of you say, well, you know, I pledged in February or man, I didn't get my premium. What did Dr. Daniel say? History demands that I do more. History demands that you do more, that I do more, that we do more. I just want to say one other thing. Speaking of volunteers, there's a whole crew of volunteers that comes into this station on Mondays and helps pack the premiums and send them out to you. And I want to thank them for their efforts each and every week. They're here in WBAI helping to support this commercial-free